Yes, indeed. It is Board Wrestling Fan Radio episode number 29. And back with us this week after a brief hiatus, Mr. JT.
Only until the next one.
And up there eating donuts and moose meat from Tim Hortons on Canada Day, Mr. G. Hall.
Nom, nom, nom. Happy Canada Day, folks.
You know, I haven't really been following the news this week, so this is going to be an interesting news week for me. But first, let's get through the shows that aired this week. As soon as I find them. We got a Raw review, didn't we?
I wasn't able to take any notes for Raw this week. My DVR decided not to record.
We didn't get a Raw review this week, apparently. I thought we did. I'm going to have to look up the Raw review.
It's on there. I'm looking
at it. Oh, okay. You know what? Because I saw the TNA base brawl thing, and I forgot that I didn't get the okay on that till Tuesday. So, there it is.
I think it was basically usual lather, rinse, repeat, always repeat, and we got announced John Cena versus Big Show versus Jericho versus Kane in the money in the Raw money in the WWE title Money in the Bank.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. I'll get into that in a second.
Hoss Fest. Yeah. Good old Hoss Fest.
All right. So we got Crazy AJ out there like talking to herself in the mirror. Then we got the triple threat elimination match Vicky Guerrero's doing. Daniel Bryan, Kane, CM Punk, and Bryan wins with distraction from AJ. Sign in the audience says, Nick Hogan drove me. my computer is not wanting to cooperate properly. what else? We got Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler trying to convince Vicky that they should get the world heavyweight title shot. And she says, well, you two are going to wrestle each other tonight. And the winner
in a Judy Bagwell on a pole match.
Yeah, Judy Bagwell on a pole match. Exactly. I think everybody had the exact same thought when they said, we're going to put the contract on a pole. Like, is Vince Russo booking this show? Is that who they brought back?
You know, that match was actually pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked how they kept the contract moving after it came down from the pole. I was unaware of this new rule that you have to secure it. I don't know. You have to hold it for 2 seconds or something like that. But I like the way that they were able to just keep it bouncing around for a period of time.
Well, they did something similar. It was an Intercontinental title match, a ladder match. And it was a triple threat, and whoever the two opponents were, they were fighting up on top of the ladder, they dropped the belt, and Dolph ran over and grabbed it, and because he controlled the belt, he won the title. So that's the... there's a precedent for that rule.
See, I didn't mind the match. It's just like, you know, I didn't like that whole, you know... Yeah, okay, they fought over for a little bit, but it just kind of went too much for me. It just kept, come on, just why don't you just grab the damn thing and get it over with? And then, of course, we're going to get to it.
We'll get to it. We'll come back.
Sheamus comes out and basically null and voids the whole match, so.
Pretty much. we got our Big Show versus Brodus Clay match we've been building for a month, and of course, Big Show isn't going to lose at this point. And wound up picking up the win with the... How did he win? Choke slam? I don't know. I have no idea, but he knocked him out afterward. I know that much.
Don't recall. Go ahead.
John Cena.
I don't either.
300th wish for Make-A-Wish. That's cool. That's why we like John Cena around here. At least the person. Outside of the stuff we're talking about in the news with Kenny! Bob Barker recapped his night of The Price is Raw. Kane tells AJ that she's too crazy for even him. And I like this. Did you know if you watched every episode of Raw back to back for 24 hours a day, it would take you 75 days to finish them all? Reitman puts, it would also get you committed. That's not stable behavior.
Well, it's more true than the crap that they make up. Oh, yeah, Raw was more watched than anything on NBC, CBS, and Fox combined. Yeah, because everything's in, most everything's in reruns.
Yeah. Santino defended against Jack Swagger successfully. Zack Ryder meets up with John Cena. John Cena comes out, gives that Star Wars promo. He's interrupted by Jericho.
Thank God.
Yeah. You know what I watched a couple of weeks ago? I forgot what the name of it. It's on Netflix. It was a documentary on how George Lucas ruined Star Wars. It's
that's pretty good.
You guys, I'll see if I can find the name of it, and I'll send it to you guys via PM. But it was pretty good. It's basically how he ruined the whole franchise.
Yeah. Anyway, so Cena tells Jericho he's gonna enter Money in the Bank because Big Show did, and he's gonna win the whole fudging thing.
What are you, like, 9 years old?
No, but most of our audience is. It's a PG show, and then it was. That was debunked, and like 75% of their audience is over 21.
That's right.
I think 75% of the people there were over 20, and the audience was over 21.
Yeah. And then Vicky comes out, and she's like yelling at both of them, and Jericho goes, "What are you going to do? Suspend me?"
Yeah.
But the board of directors decided that the WWE title contract Money in the Bank match will feature only former WWE champions. Which on Monday, watching this, I was like, this is stupid. This is ridiculous. This is supposed to be an opportunity for somebody who's never won the title before to get the Money in the Bank and go on and win the title instead of, you know, four guys that we've seen hold the belt before.
Yeah, but I'm looking at it like this. What better time than to have the Money in the Bank winner cash it in and lose?
True.
Than this, because I can see John Cena winning this match, you know, challenging Punk at SummerSlam for the title, and yet the Big Show thing isn't over, and Big Show causes John Cena to lose, and then hence ending, you know, John Cena being the first one to cash in and lose.
True. I never thought of it that way.
But then again, it's WWE and it's John Cena, and he's been out of the title picture for a year, so.
Yeah, but he doesn't need it. He still headlines the show. It doesn't matter if he has a title. Yeah. I like your idea, JT, a lot. I think it's a win-win if they go that route, because Cena's going to be the mainstay regardless, and Punk can keep the title, and, you know, maybe if nothing else, it makes the title more relevant that somebody's holding it for a long period of time. But like you said, it is a WWE ..
And Punk's getting close to Cena's WWE title reign. So you know you don't want to have him pass that.
Right. No, but I didn't even think of it that way. And you're absolutely right. So yeah. And we got Heath Slater. You gotta love these Heath Slater bits every week now. These are just, they're getting better and better all the time. So Heath Slater comes out and he says he's the man who rules the world. He's the man who rules the world. And of course we got Psycho Sid returning. And Sid, go ahead.
Why did he look like crap though?
I disagree. I thought he looked good. That's what I was about to say. I mean, he was going a little bald and, you know, but he still...
But yeah.
He doesn't look horrible in comparison to when we last saw him. Of course, when we last saw him, he was snapping his ankle in half on WCW Sin.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, because you know you realize you see the Titantron video of him, and then he comes out and you gotta realize he's probably 20 something in that video and he's 50 something now. So
yeah, no, for his age and as long as he's been gone, he looks good, and he looked good in the ring too for a guy that hasn't been in the majors for quite a while. You know, I mean he's been pretty much out of it since he broke his ankle.
He's barely been in the minors anyway. No shows everything, so he can play his softball games and take a second take. Oh, but I liked him too.
I don't know. I don't know if it's in the news. I haven't read the news document yet. But there was like this whole thing. Rebby Sky was like, "Oh, how come he gets to come back on Raw when he doesn't even show up in the minors, and he's gonna come or on the Indies, and he's gonna get all these bookings now that he's not gonna show up to." And then, like, and that's what started. I know the Tammy Sitch thing is in there, and that's what started the Tammy Sitch thing, because she was bad mouthing Rebby Sky.
Because
also known for not showing up, but
yeah,
I didn't cover all of that story. I felt like some internet guy's nobody girlfriend was getting too much attention.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And that's the last we'll speak of it.
The main reason why I said would no show indie events and show up to Raw, because I bet you the Raw paycheck was a lot more, had a lot more zeros in it than the indie paycheck.
I'm sure it did. it was great to see Sid back, and he does not look horrible compared to what he did when we last saw him, and you know that says something. You know, and Vader didn't either a few weeks ago, and even Piper was looking good last week. He lost some weight. He's
too bad he couldn't do. Too bad he couldn't save that segment last week.
Yeah,
I was gonna rant on that segment last week. If you obviously here, I was gonna rant because it was like, hey, did anybody notice how dead the crowd was when Cyndi Lauper and Wendi Richter came out?
Yeah. But, hey, it's 1984 again. we didn't even have Raw in 1984, and that's the last time Cyndi Lauper was on WWE television. Whatever. All right, so we came back. We got the Beach Battle Royal. And they didn't they did the WrestleMania 25 thing to these divas. They didn't introduce any of them. Granted, a number of them, most of them, are divas that we've seen very often and we know who they are, but one in particular, I'm sitting there and I'm like, what the hell is her name? Who the hell is that? I know who she is. She's on NXT or was on NXT, and I can't place the name. So I ended up having to look up season 5 of NXT because I knew she was on there, and it was Maxine. And then, like, 2 days later, we got the news report that we're going to get into in a little bit about Maxine leaving the company out of frustration. So I think that would frustrate me too if nobody knew who I was and I didn't get an intro on Raw. even the guys losing to Ryback are like, hey, you know, hey, we're Rutherford Hayes and Willard Fillmore.
One of those guys, actually speaking of which, ended up showing up on Impact this week too. Go figure.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I think Alicia Fox actually rolled out of the Rumble, her Battle Royale. Sorry, I mean, nobody actually touched her. She just kind of rolled out.
Did you ever notice that every time they do one of these Divas Battle Royale things, somebody quits? Yeah. The last time they did it was when Gail Kim just walked out of the ring and went back and said, hey, did you see what I just did? Like, oh, yeah, you look good out there, kid. And then she quit. Oh, boy.
We're not that lucky. Alicia Botch will still get...
Oh, I know, but I'm referring more to Maxine quitting.
I know.
Oh, but...
I don't even know who Maxine is, so...
My point exactly. I can't blame her for quitting. So we come back from the commercial, and we get told that there is going to be a social media celebrity ambassador for the 1,000th episode of Monday Night Raw.
Winning.
Yeah, winning. And I didn't think to cue up my Charlie Sheen soundboard that we use on the Noah's Ark show. Here it is. Yeah. Good old Charlie. It doesn't make any sense at all for a company with a PG TV show or trying to plug a PG TV show to have a guy like Charlie Sheen be their social media ambassador.
Winning.
There he is. Hi, Charlie. You know what Charlie's addicted to?
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning, you know?
Well, he does have a new show that's on now, so he might have to promote that, you know?
Boom.
Yep.
Wait, I thought you said that you roast Charlie Sheen. You can't. It's not winning anymore because you've already won.
Boom. I'm an F-18, bro.
I don't want to click too many of these because I don't know how clean they are.
Well, speaking of clean, you know, Sheen has a thing for porn stars, and I didn't put this in the news, but I learned a couple days ago that good old Biff Tannen's girlfriend, former developmental talent, has a sex tape floating around out there, so I'm sure he'll fit right in.
You might be right. Anyway, so we got the contract on a pole match that we've already discussed with Sheamus coming out and saying, oh, you guys could stop fighting. You're both going to wrestle me on SmackDown. Or you fellas. Mick Foley's most memorable Monday night moment, the original This Is Your Life segment with The Rock. And I called that last week, didn't I?
You did.
Oh, wait, now we get the Beach Battle Royal. Okay. I'm reading this out of order, apparently. And AJ wins, and she does the yes chant.
Oh, that's where she got it from. Because I didn't watch the match, and I all of a sudden was wondering why on SmackDown she was doing her own yes.
Yeah, she started... it was after she talked to Punk. She talked to Punk and said, oh, yeah, I can see us taking our relationship to the next level after I win this match. And then she wins the match, and she starts doing the yes chants. And then we got our main event of the evening, which... You know, if it's a main event, shouldn't it be advertised, like, weeks in advance to get people to buy tickets and you know, instead of, hey, I have an idea, you two are going to wrestle later tonight, and it's going to be our main event. but we got Cena hit the five moves of doom, the Big Show came out and beat the crap out of Cena, and Jericho took off, and... Raw ends with Big Show choking Cena out in the Colossal Clutch. Which I think I've heard him call it that before. I don't think that's new. But whatever. Alright, thoughts on Raw, JT, since you haven't been with us for 2 weeks.
I don't know. I'm kind of on, you know, the Cena Star Wars promo was horrible. The wrestling, for the most part, was pretty good, you know. I'm on the, you know, what I watched, I, you know, I fast forward through, you know, like I said, I didn't watch the Beach Battle Royal or any of the highlight packages because I just don't, because they're just a waste of time, in my opinion. But yeah. There we go.
All right. G, your thoughts, Monday Night Raw.
Don't watch the highlight packages? Oh, come on. Those are the fat mothers. Yeah, I agree. I kind of didn't get the same experience out of Raw that I would have liked to because I had to stream it. Fortunately, legally, I do have access to legal streams, the Canadian channel that airs Raw, as well as all other WWE programming does provide it after the show airs, fortunately. But I'm with JT on this. The Star Wars thing had a lot of the people in the crowd, I guess, amused. But not myself, nor himself included. I'm not sure. I guess you can chime in a moment where you thought that went. But it almost killed the show for me. I kind of wish it ended without Sheamus coming out, and that was the end of the night. That just have the contract end up in someone's hand and end feed. Because after that, it just went downhill for me. But I did like a few spots and elements of it. I just find it mind-boggling that I'm enjoying, for I think the fourth or fifth consecutive week, Impact more than Raw. Really odd, but it's true. Yep, I'm going on the record on this one. Happy Canada Day!
All right. I didn't hate the Star Wars promo. I actually kind of laughed at it a little bit, but I think it was because it was like 3 o'clock in the morning and I was bored out of my mind, and I'm like, ah, he's talking about Star Wars. Oh, the woo-woo Wookiee. Nothing really memorable, honestly, about the show to me. And like I said, I mean, my biggest criticism is they did the WrestleMania 25 thing with the Divas. I mean, like... Listen, I'm not a big fan of the WWE Divas. Their division is completely lacking. They push all the wrong people. But, I mean, they did work as hard as everybody else to get there. Except for Kelly Kelly. and so, I mean, to have them just come out, and then there's 10 of them in the ring, and none of them get an introduction, it's ridiculous. And especially when Maxine hasn't been on WWE television in the United States in how long? When was the last time she was on SmackDown? You know? And she's never been on Raw, I don't think, so it was absolutely ridiculous for, you know, and they didn't mention her at all in the match. She was one of the first people eliminated. Of course she's going to walk out in frustration. But there were other shows this week.
I will, one last thing, I will give WWE credit. I think they are actually trying to cut, end the shows earlier now. They're not trying to go like 15 minutes late like they used to do. I think they're actually trying that now. So I will give them props for that.
The whole thing's irrelevant to me because I watch it after the fact.
Oh yeah, I do too. I do too. But you know, the thing is, I said a few months ago when they announced the 3-hour thing, I'm like,
oh no, I know.
They need to stop the going over.
It is my understanding that they are going to still have the overrun when they go 3 hours. So I could be wrong. I believe I've read that somewhere, though. Speaking of shows that are not on television in the United States, in fact, shows that you can't legally find anywhere in the United States for whatever reason. Gee, did you catch this week's NXT?
I did, but I didn't have a chance to watch it with full attention. What I did catch on it was actually really good. JR is just always a welcome breath of fresh air on commentary, and he continued to do a great job with William Regal this week. What did we get? We got...
Regal? I got Byron Saxon for some reason. Huh. Okay, I got Byron Saxon, except for the match, I think it was the Ascension versus the Usos.
Yeah, that's right. They did mix it up a little bit. I think they're taping kind of out of order.
I think that might be it, but here's the quick results. Seth Rollins pinned Jiro.
Seth Rollins was great in this match. Oh, absolutely. One I paid attention to. And there's another debut, and you'll get to it in a moment. Go for it.
Oh, yeah. Jinder Mahal defeated Jason Jordan with the Camel Clutch. Leo
belongs next to you, by the way.
Yes, he does. Leo Kruger made Aiden English submit to a sleeper hold. The Ascension.
Hold on. Kruger's gimmick is he's pretty much a big muscled dude. He talks about lions and being like the king of the jungle.
That guy. Okay.
Tarzan type of gimmick, I guess. I don't know, but like I did watch the whole thing. It was just kind of between doing some editing for a future article for a particular hockey site for bored fans coming up in the future.
All right. This was interesting to me. The Ascension, Conor O'Brien, Kenneth Cameron, they defeated the Usos. They defeated the main roster team.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Richie Steamboat, another big debut. Looks like his dad. He's got those arm drags down, man. He pinned Rick Victor with the Sling Blade.
He did. It was actually a really good match, and his pops was in the audience.
Yes, indeed, yep. He was, and it was. I was impressed. Absolutely, reminded me of his old man. Antonio Cesaro defeated Dante Dash. He beat him with the Neutralizer. And Derek Bateman in our main event pinned Johnny Curtis. So, I enjoyed it. I actually watched SmackDown right after I watched it. I watched it like Friday morning or something. So I watched SmackDown ahead of time. And I was watching it like out of order, so I have no idea. I didn't see the whole episode, but there's other shows to get to first, including JT reviewed a Ring of Honor episode for us. So if you want to take us through that, sir.
Do I have to?
Was it that bad?
No, it wasn't. It was whatever. It was the countdown show to the last pay-per-view. And it was basically Eddie Edwards beat Bob Evans. Jay Lethal defeated Chris Silvio. And Davey Richards and Kyle O'Reilly and versus Kevin Steen and Jimmy Jacobs basically went to no contest because it basically was never under control because they just brawled through the whole thing for about 20 minutes and then that was it.
I went out Friday night and I met up with a drummer friend of mine and we got to talking and he says, "Hey man, you watch a lot of wrestling, right? What do you think of Ring of Honor?" And I'm like, "You know, I haven't watched the show in like 3 months." He's like, "Oh dude, it's so good, man. Why don't you watch it?" I'm like, "Cause I don't like the production values." It reminds me a little bit. He's like, "It reminds me of old WWF." I'm like, "Well, I could see that, but it reminds me more of old ECW, but the layout, the format of the show is different, and I think that's what I don't like about it." But then they were talking about former BWF interviewee Grizzly Redwood and how they like that guy, so that's cool.
Yeah, well, I don't love it either. I just watch it, and I don't think it's, you know, is it gonna save wrestling? No, but is it watchable? I think it's watchable. I don't love it. I don't love it like some of the other fans out there. You know, I just
kill Steen, kill. Happy Canada Day, folks.
Yes. Oh, that's and my buddy's wife that I was talking to, she says, he mentions to her that he's talking to me about Ring of Honor, and she goes, "Kill Steen, kill, kill Steen, kill." It's like, yeah, I do like Kevin Steen. That I like.
And if you want, I can run down the I can find the results for Best in the World. If you want me to run down those results,
oh, that's right. They did have a pay per view.
Let me look it up.
While you're doing that, G and I will discuss a show we know you didn't watch.
I already got the results.
Be my guest.
Do it.
Okay. Here are the results for Best in the World. The Briscoes defeated the Guardians of Truth. Homicide defeated Eddie Edwards. Adam Cole defeated Kyle O'Reilly. Michael Elgin defeated Fit Finley. Mike Mondo defeated Mike Bennett. Roderick Strong defeated Jay Lethal and Tommaso Ciampa. The All Night Express defeated wrestling's greatest tag team and are the new tag team champions. And Kevin Steen defeated Davey Richards.
All right.
I caught a bit of this one. They made a little blooper with their iPay-per-view. They were trying to make good because the last two have kind of failed to deliver because of technical difficulties. Guess what, folks? I watched it for free because they allowed me to. Thank you. Thank you, Ring of Honor. Thank you. Next time, maybe put a password or something in there because I was not the only one. This was flying around like hotcakes, like Dustin Penner taking a pancake injury, man. It was pretty incredible. I mean, Facebook blew up. Everyone's like, "Hey, it's free."
Where the hell was I when this happened?
Yeah, me too.
And anyone who paid for it, I'm sorry. I really am, but it was free. It was for me. To quote the Pat Man, nevermore. All right.
And I want to thank our good buddy James Bullock from the other website who I got the results from. So
those guys. I like James. He's cool.
Yeah, he's one of the good guys over there.
There's a few of them over there, and I'm sure eventually they'll get fired and wind up here.
They can hang with the bad guy, yo.
All right.
You know something, brother.
G sent me a little link. When am I supposed to play this? Some point in the show, I guess, right?
Well, yeah, at some point, get it queued up. because it relates to the main storyline, which is questionable, but...
So are we, we'll talk about this when we get to that. I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. It's Claire Lynch time, folks.
Oh, boy. I missed last week's show, and I did tune in this week, and I saw the horrible, horrible, horrible thing that is Claire Lynch.
Thank goodness for Christopher Daniels, because he's able to salvage one of the most terrible and bizarre storylines in the history of wrestling and make it entertaining. Or at least that's my take. I don't know. What did you think overall before we get down to the meat potatoes?
I've seen bad acting in wrestling before, but jeez. It's not like this woman has to take a bump or anything. They couldn't get a better actress? Come on. Even if she's got to take a bump, by the time she takes the bump, she's got time to learn how to take one.
She's got the baby bump. You got to give her a fist pump for that, anyway.
Which is why you know she's going to take a bump somewhere along the lines in this angle.
Well, you know what? She took a hump, and we're going to get to that here.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Let's get to the rest of the show first. We open up with Mr. Anderson. And he took on the whole effing show, Mr. TNA, Rob Van Dam, and RVD wins and gets 7 points in the Bound for Glory series. His first 7 points.
That's right. He's on the board. Does a decent match. RVD actually pulled out a few spots in this one that I don't think I've ever seen him do before. It's all flippy floppy stuff, just for JT, of course.
Loves me the flippy floppy stuff. Sarcasm.
Well, we're gonna have a lot more of that because
I was watching last night I popped in my ECW Blu-ray. I'm trying to finish watching it, and I got to see the Impact Players against Jerry Lynn and Rob Van Dam. And now you want to see flippy floppy stuff?
he flips, he flops, he flips, he flops and flips. Flip, 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 flop, flop, flop. It's a Sin Cara match.
Let's get serious for a moment.
All right.
Happy Canada Day. Anyway.
The greatest man who ever lived, Austin Aries. He comes out and he talks about his proposition for Hulk Hogan, his option C, as he put it, where he said that everybody that every year when they have Destination X, there needs to be the opportunity that he's getting, which is to trade in the X Division Championship for the World Heavyweight Championship shot. And when this happens, there will be a tournament. And at Destination X, we're going to get a tournament. They didn't really get into who was in the tournament, but we did see some potential people. Bobby Roode comes out and he says, this is the world championship. And Austin Aries says, oh, is that because you defended it all over the world? Just totally condescending. It was he's great in this promo. Both of them are. And he slaps the mic out of Rude's hand. And then Rude throws down the belt, starts taking off his shirt and everything. And Aries takes his off. And Rude walks away. Like you would expect him to.
That's right. He's a heel. That's
exactly
it. Whose ring is it? We will have to wait for the pay-per-view to find out. Yeah.
Bobby Roode, what if I think this is my ring?
Yeah.
I like Austin Aries. He is single-handedly the reason to tune in to TNA for me. And I got to see him wrestle live last week, so that's cool.
He does have problems with perception of time, though, because he referred to last week as last year that he was talking with Hulk Hogan in the ring. But other than that, I liked the segment.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught that or not.
I didn't. No, I missed that.
Next up was our favorite actress on the show.
Wait a minute, Orton's in TNA now?
Signed up. Woo! He's pregnant now, too.
He grew his hair long. He's sleeping with a member of the roster. So she does. I skipped over this whole thing.
Not, not a lot to say. Basically, it just establishes that Claire's mother is friends with Dixie, and that's how they know each other. And she claims to have never met Kaz or Daniels. End segment.
All right. We got a little preview of our X Division tournament because we got Sanjay Dutt returning to the Impact Zone. He took on Rubix, Jigsaw of Chikara.
That's right. And awesome.
It was great with more flippy floppy stuff for JT. But I love that finisher. Sanjay Dutt wins with a moonsault stomp off the top rope. That was, like, I had to rewind and watch it again, and my reaction was, oh, shh! but I, yeah, definitely enjoyed Sanjay Dutt in this match. Rubix was pretty good as well. And kind of looking forward to this tournament if we got guys like this. Then we got our backstage look at Taz, Al Snow, and Bruce Pritchard deciding on whether or not they want to keep Taylor Wilde. And Taz taking a little jab at Joey Ryan.
Just a little one.
Little one.
Although, we'll talk a little bit more about Mr. Ryan later.
We will.
I found it interesting Al Snow mentions that if she gets to the level that she can perform well, if they can actually hold on to her. That was kind of odd.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider the outcome. But let's move along to a certain Bully and a certain Park.
Yes. Bully Ray taking on Samoa Joe for the In the Bound for Glory series. And we get a highlight beforehand of Bully Ray bullying Joseph Park pretty much and saying, don't you or your brother ever show up around here. If I ever see you around here, it'll be the last time anybody sees you. And, well, Joseph Park comes to the ring and distracts Bully Ray, slaps him in the face, leading to the Coquina Clutch. And Samoa Joe wins by submission, gets 10 points in the Bound for Glory series. Still behind James Storm. But Joseph Park says, I'm tired of being bullied. I've been bullied my whole life. This isn't about my brother anymore. This is about me and you. And give me 2 weeks. I want to fight you again. And
yeah, I like this a lot.
He says, let me know. Great. Yeah.
Well, it's something that we've criticized TNA many, many times in the past for. They, you know, kind of forget to book ahead of time and let the fans know what to expect when they tune in. So yeah. We know now, 2 weeks from now, we have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And we also know Park mentions, hey, I know who you are. Do you really know who I am? So
yeah.
We got the best cheese too. It's good. Solid booking.
Yeah, definitely. We got Kaz backstage talking to Hulk Hogan, and he says, I want out of this. I don't want anything to do with Christopher Daniels. Christopher Daniels lied to me, and he fooled me, and he tricked me like he tricked everybody else. And we're going to get, you know, I don't want anything to do with him. I don't want to be in this tag match. And Hulk says, well, you're stuck with this tag match. Show us what you got out there. Prove it to us.
This, again, was good because one of the big holes is, well, Kaz was privy to information that made him turn on AJ Styles. I think this is probably a good time to play this clip that I sent to you because Daniels is a little bit of an audio editor himself, and something that was revealed around this period in the episode was the misleading information being doctored, and this explains why Kaz would want to actually not be a part of anything with Daniels, although when we get to the end of the show,
we'll save that till the end of the show. Do you want me to play both? Do you want me to play the edited one and then the original? You think that would, I mean, that'll kill like 2 minutes.
Up to you, and JT as well. I think should have a voice because he's getting left out of this quite a bit.
That's true.
Go ahead.
All right, this is the edited AJ Styles Dixie Carter phone call. I think this is this aired on Impact a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm so glad you called. I've been waiting to hear from you. Are you coming this weekend?
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
I'm so glad. I am so glad. But you have to do me a favor. Do not let him know you're coming into town, okay? I mean, I really don't want him to have a clue.
There's no way he's going to find out. I'm excited.
I can't tell you what it means to me that you're going to be here.
How long do you think it will be before Serge gets there?
Well, I think...
How much time do we have?
You know, let me just... Do you mind if I text you, like, when you're on the road and let you know and just kind of figure that out if you need to hang back a while or whatever?
Absolutely. Just let me know.
Perfect. Perfect. I can't wait to see you. So glad you're coming. Talk to you soon. Can't wait.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was the edited one that we heard on Impact a few weeks ago. This is the original, and this is the first time I'm hearing it. So let's listen in. Oh, there's an ad. Hold on. I got to wait 15 seconds. I have the
15 seconds.
Have the ad.
Yay, happy Canada Day. Woo!
I have the ad blocker on the other browser, and I never use it on this show for whatever reason, but here we go.
Hello.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm so glad you called. I've been waiting to hear from you. Are you coming this weekend?
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
I'm so glad. I am so glad. Serge is going to be so excited that you're going to be able to make it. But you have to do me a favor. Do not let him know you're coming into town, okay? I've kept this birthday party a secret long enough. He'll know once he pulls up. But up until that point, I really don't want him to have a clue.
There's no way he's going to find out. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great party. I'm excited.
Well, listen, you and Wendy, y'all bring the kids if you can. There'll be lots of families there, kids, jump houses, the whole thing. But I can't tell you what it means to me that you're going to be here.
Well, let me ask you this, something. Since we're driving in, how long do you think it will be before Serge gets there?
Well, I think...
How much time do we have?
You know, let me just... Do you mind if I text you, like, when you're on the road and let you know and just kind of figure that out if you need to hang back a while or whatever? I think I'll have a better idea once we get there.
Yeah, just let me know. Give me a call.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Can't wait.
All right, bye-bye.
Dixie advocates texting while driving. So it really was birthday party.
That's right. It would have been kind of funny if Daniels had left in the jump house part. This story is becoming really hard to follow, but as much of a train wreck as it is, it's actually been quite entertaining. It gets even weirder, though, as our episode develops here, though, folks.
Boom.
All right, so... Let's see, where are we? Oh, then we get the Madison Rain talking to Garrett Bischoff. She's like, "Oh, I have a crush on somebody, and I was wondering if you could do me a favor and tell me what he's like." And she whispers in his ear, and he's like, "Good luck with that." So I think, and I haven't been following this story at all. This is my first time actually even seeing this on TV. I think it's Eric Bischoff.
Really? I'm thinking Earl Hebner.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've been teasing that on house shows, believe it or not.
Oh. They didn't do it at the one I was at, so that's probably why I don't know.
Your theory might work, though. It might get him back on TV. Hey, JT, what the hell? What do you think? Who's it going to be?
You just asked someone a question who hasn't been paying attention for 10 minutes.
He wants to know who you think Madison Rain's crush is.
Davy Boy Smith.
All right.
No, I'll go with Bischoff.
All right. Let's see. More X Division people. We got Mason Andrews against Rashawn Cameron. And I don't even remember. Oh, okay, yeah, and I remember this guy. The guy Cameron won, Rashawn Cameron, and he gets out of the ring with his big afro, and apparently he's a heel. I don't know.
This was a really good match, though. I don't know what Andrew's move is called. He hits some like ridiculous like 360 McTwist splash type of thing. I don't know. Maybe I just played too much Tony Hawk as a kid. But that's my description for it. It's just this really neat acrobatic move. But I think both delivered possibly the most interesting match on the show. I was actually thinking that Anders was going to win this thing, and then Cameron pretty much dominates the second half. I don't know. I like to see both these guys on a regular basis. Damn it!
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see all these new X Division guys come in. It's always good to see people getting a shot. Speaking of getting a shot, Taz, Al Snow, and Bruce Pritchard, they're all in the ring there, and Jeremy Borash brings out Taylor Hendricks, who was supposed to be a guest on Board Wrestling Fan Radio a while back, but that didn't happen. And we want a, so he asks Taz first. Taz says yes. He asks Al Snow. Al Snow is in the middle of his speech when they see a guy in the crowd with a Joey Ryan sign, and well, it's Joey Ryan. And Taz and Al Snow go out. They get in his face. Security drags him out. They get back in the ring and carry on like nothing happened. Al Snow says no. And Bruce Pritchard says, oh, well, you got, you know, you're green and you're not that polished and you're not that experienced, but we can work with that. So, yes, so Taylor Hendricks now has a job, TNA Wrestling. So, congrats to her. She is more than welcome to come back for a Board Wrestling Fan interview if she decides she wants to. Then we got our main event. Tag team match. It was Angle and Styles against Daniels and Kaz, and Daniels was in there most of the time. Kaz takes a chair away from Daniels while the referee's out, and he teases walking away. AJ hits the Pele, goes for the Styles clash, gets cracked in the back of the head with a chair from Kaz, who's still in on this. And they make the announcement, Daniels does, that, yeah, sure, you know Claire Lynch is pregnant, but did you know the father is AJ Styles? So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, boy. Things got a little Jerry Springer up in here today.
Yeah.
It is what it is. We'll have to tune in to find out. Apparently, this whole storyline is booked, you know, well in advance, so... As bizarro as it seems, they have some sort of vision that they're following through on. It's about as pretty much the definition of soap opera television as you can get when it comes to wrestling. But I'm amused by it. I'm entertained by Daniel, so I'm going to give it a pass for now. We'll just have to wait and see what ends up happening with this one, though.
I agree. This is a ridiculous storyline and with a horrible actress. And I don't know. Like you said, Daniels is great in this whole thing. But you know, we'll wait and see what happens. Maybe she'll get some acting lessons. And who knows?
Just keep her away from Daniel's Appletinis and everything should be okay.
Yep. All right. So SmackDown. Kicked off with Layla versus AJ in a non-title match with Daniel Bryan running around the ring screaming yes, distracting AJ and costing her the match. She assaults Layla after the match. Daniel Bryan stops her and says, hey, it's not so fun when somebody distracts you in the middle of a match, huh? And, I like
Excuse
this cat.
Me.
Yeah. they do the yes thing through the commercial break. Yeah. Vicky Guerrero comes out. Excuse me, do you have any idea how annoying it is for you to keep repeating your same tired catchphrase over and over again? I said, excuse me. That line, that was the best. And then we got Batman facing off with Darth Vader. No.
Would have been awesome, though, if we did.
It was, we actually got the announcement that AJ will be the special guest referee at Money in the Bank for the WWE title match. So there you go. That's what AJ's role is going to be. So I think we're finally going to find out one way or another what she's going to end up doing. I guess we'll see it Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
We got our Money in the Bank qualifying match. Zack Ryder versus the intellectual savior of the masses, Damian Sandow. You're welcome. And Damian Sandow wins the match. He's going on to be a participant in the SmackDown World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank match.
I'm all for it, you know. I know Ryder needs to get over, but we haven't seen Sandow do a lot. Although he did have an awesome spot where he put Ryder in a full Nelson and then bashed his face into the top ring buckle multiple times. That was cool.
Oh, yeah. He's got an old school feel to him, and I like that. And that's why I like Dave. Like, the first time I saw him when he was doing the vignette, he's like, oh, everybody on social media. And then it's like, follow him at Damian Sandow. I didn't like that, but then he's grown on me a lot since then. Reminds me a lot of Lanny Poffo. And I like Lanny Poffo. Even if he is having to drag his mother into everything.
Do you guys think that if you haven't seen the show yet and you think that's going to be a weird pick for the Money in the Bank? It gets weirder, folks.
Money in the Bank qualifying, man. Well, first of all, Daniel Bryan knocks on the Divas door looking for AJ. He meets up with Caitlin and says, you didn't hear this from me, but she's a bit mentally unstable. I must have missed that part. I missed a lot of SmackDown because I didn't realize that the dude that posted all these videos on YouTube posted, like, multiple SmackDown videos. Like, there was a high-quality one, and then there was a high-def one. And so the parts were all mixed up, and I got confused, and I missed some of this, so I must have missed that part. But Money in the Bank qualifying match, Jack Swagger versus Tyson Kidd. And,
Biff Tannen.
Tyson Kidd won the match. Tyson Kidd will be in the Money in the Bank ladder match at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Happy Canada Day.
Like I said, it just got weird.
He's in there just for the big spots. He's not going to win.
Oh, yeah.
He'll make the match better.
Because you're not going to get him in the WWE match, not with the guys that are in there, the WWE title match. So you need to get the flippy guys.
Biff Tannen is going back to Hill Valley, California.
Yeah.
1955. Doc! Gotta go back.
All right. Got an interaction with Dolph and Vicky. It ended up Vicky slapped Dolph.
PG show, mind you.
Yes. And, whatever. Money in the Bank qualifying match. Christian and Santino versus Cody Rhodes and David Otunga. And Christian and Santino win the match. They're going on to face, they're going on to the Money in the Bank match at Money in the Bank for the World Heavyweight title. Interesting to note, G's got a little animated gif in here of a guy that I like and I'm looking forward to. This guy.
They don't love you like I do. They don't know you, man. They can't protect you like I can. How am I gonna do that? With love, man. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about real love. Love, you can feel it deep down in your core, man. Love, you can reach out and touch. Love, you can feel in your eyes. It runs through your brain. Love, it runs like static electricity. It bursts through your fingertips. Real love, come with me. Take my hand and we will grab a chunk of that love. Real love. Can you feel that? Can you feel that? Come with me. I want you to feel how powerful I can be. I am powerful.
Waylon Mercy, he's a simple man. I love it. Again, another like old school kind of gimmick coming back. And Husky Harris, the guy to do it, man. And he's playing this character to the T in these promos. He looks a lot better than he did when he was doing the Nexus thing. He looks like he's lost some weight. And I mean, I'm looking forward to him actually debuting on WWE television.
Well, he's gonna start off with NXT from the looks of things. That segment that you just played the audio from. I know people at home can't see what happens in it, but one of the neat things is they kind of interchange clips of him doing his rant, and sometimes there's people kind of bowing down to him, and sometimes there's nobody there. So it alludes to the idea that one of two things, at least in my mind, is the guy's delusional and he thinks he has all these followers, or he will have followers and he's slowly going to build up a faction. So either way, it's a great premise.
Yeah, this is the top comment on YouTube. It says, if people don't understand this yet, this gimmick is a crazy preacher-like savior. He's not like CM Punk. Punk was the SES leader against drugs. As you notice in the beginning of the promo, the people he was preaching to kept vanishing and reappearing. He thinks he's preaching to real people, but it's all in his head. Therefore, he's a crazy preacher. That comment from Rune133 on YouTube.
Nice.
I am definitely looking forward to him, even if he is on NXT, because I've been going out of my way to find NXT every week. Just because it's been good the last 2 weeks, so I want to watch it, even if WWE doesn't want me to. Let's see. Sheamus gets interviewed. Cliche interview. Fella McPale, I like that. Fella McPale.
How does CM Punk wear Alicia Botch's ring gear and not get injured?
I know, right? We got AJ talking to herself. Daniel Bryan comes in. He asks her about her mental health, whether she's ever sought help. He knows a doctor. He asks if she wants his number. And she just says, yes, yes, yes. All right. Ryback versus Dan Barone and Brandon Burke. I wonder what happened. I missed this.
It was. That's because you blinked, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Ryvan back. I love it. He did an interview. He said that him and Rob Van Dam actually have the same airbrush guy. And so he doesn't mind the comparisons.
Is that the new hip lingo for Dealer these days? Or what?
Antonio Cesaro and Oksana are making out backstage. Teddy Long interrupts their face sucking to let them know that he will be the GM next week on the live Super SmackDown on Tuesday, which is the Great American Bash. So suck it, Canada. that he sees through all the BS of Oksana, and he's booked them in a tag match against Layla and the mediocre Kali.
The flowchart's back. Holla, holla.
Holla. the Great American Bash, that's right, on Tuesday night, July 3rd.
Poor Antonio Cesaro. He's already relegated to jobbing to Kali.
Yeah. Money in the bank.
There?
Money, G? Yeah, he's in.
Okay.
Money in the Bank qualifying match. Tensai versus Justin Gabriel. And, yeah, Tensai.
I was going to say, yeah, well, I wonder who won that one there.
And we got a world title match. Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler. And Sheamus wins. And...
<Yeah. laughs> Oh, well. We all knew that was gonna happen.
Yeah.
Anybody else noticing? I mean, the rumors have been spreading about this. That WWE doesn't mention what town they're in unless it's big time town, New York, Chicago type of stuff.
You know what? I've noticed. I just noticed that.
Yeah, I caught a little news bit about that. And watching SmackDown, it's like, oh, we're live in whatever state they were in, but they didn't say the city. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I, in fact, a few weeks ago, I reviewed one of the SmackDowns in your place, and I don't know if it was, I think it was a live one, and you couldn't do it. It was the Blast from the Past SmackDown.
Oh, right.
And yep. I'm, like, sitting here like, oh, we're here in some town somewhere. And I'm just going to, you know, that's just filler for me to put in a actual city name. And they didn't say the name of the city until halfway through the show. And I'm just like, that's weird. So I don't know if this is necessarily a new thing. But the news has just come out about this. So, I mean, who knows?
But then again, like you say, I do notice it more on SmackDown. I can understand it more on SmackDown because the fact of the matter is SmackDown's taped Tuesday and airs Friday. So, you know, if they've got a live event somewhere in another part of the country and you got someone, you know, you don't want people getting confused. Well, wait a minute, they're supposed to be here Friday. You know, thinking they're going to see a SmackDown tape being on TV and they're not because they're at a house show and they're not at the live, you know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
You stupid marks thought you were coming to a television taping.
You don't understand. Every time I go to a house show, I have to politely tell the kids, no, we're not going to be on TV.
Yeah.
They're like,
why did you bring signs?
Yeah.
Live from... What was that? Nothing.
Kenny! Kenny! The new WWE champion is Kenny!
Oh my god, they killed Kenny! You bastard!
The grammar champion returns, according to G. Ken Doan is still shooting on John Cena, allegedly cheating on his wife. Quote, got one diva who is married to a guy outside of the business, but she sleeps with Cena. Then we got Cena who sleeps with rats and this married diva, and now my girlfriend. Going forward, I have no reason but to speak the truth, and to make all this up would be absolutely insane. I'm not saying you have to believe anything I say, but it's the truth. WWE portrays Cena as this big hero and savior to all of us, but truth be told, that is a character he plays much like me as a cheerleader. I haven't scrolled through this yet, but did you hear who the married diva is that Cena was sleeping with?
I know something about Mickey James being involved, but
aside from Mickey James, because Mickey James was the girlfriend that Kenny alluded to there.
Hopefully, it's Michelle McCool.
No.
Oh, that would be awesome.
No.
Maybe we'll have the best main event ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Michelle McCool on a pole match.
Undertaker has torn John Cena in half.
Give me a brief second here while I pull up this article. As previously reported, ex-WWE superstar Ken Doan has stated that John Cena and ex-WWE diva Mickey James were involved in an affair which ruined his relationship with Mickey and cost him his job with the sports entertainment promotion. Doan has also recently claimed that Cena was having yet another affair with another ex-WWE diva who was married to a man that was not involved in the professional wrestling industry. Doan did not specifically name the ex-diva in question, but gave a clue that suggests it was Lisa Marie Veyron, aka WWE's Victoria and TNA's Tara, calling Veyron Cena's diva road girlfriend. Doan has also stated that Veyron was moved to SmackDown from Raw in 2007 after allegedly being dumped by Cena, a move that also saw Doan receive the same treatment. Veyron has confirmed Doan's statement that she has indeed been married to a man since 1998 who has not been involved in the professional wrestling industry. During a recent interview with The Wrestling Observer, Veyron had the following to say. Kenny Doan said a diva married to someone not in the business who was moved from Raw to SmackDown in 2007 was sleeping with John Cena. Considering I had nothing to do with why he was whining on the internet, he sure gave enough details about someone he claims he wasn't trying to involve. I was the only diva married to someone not in the business who moved from Raw to SmackDown in 2007. I want to address this both professionally and personally. Professionally, you hear people talk about backstage politics in wrestling. I'll tell you what that means to me. Backstage politics is not some kind of psychological maneuvering. You work and travel with your wrestling co-workers more than you want to work and travel with anyone. The people who complain about backstage politics generally don't have the ability to respectfully interact with others. I treat everyone with respect. Everyone. Ask the caterers, building security, wrestlers, executives, crews, fans, anyone who I don't treat with respect, and they would be at a loss for words. And because you spend so much time with these people, you know a lot about the people you travel with and work closely with. I found that the best way not to make waves is to keep my eyes and ears open and my mouth shut when it comes to other people's business. The people who complain that they were victims of backstage politics often either don't show people respect or butt into other people's business. On a personal level, what KD said was mostly false, although there was a little truth. I've been with my husband for 20 years. He's the best guy in the world, but like any 20-year relationship, we've had some good times, we've had some bad times, and anyone who I traveled with knows that. Because you learn intimate details about each other, whether you want to or not, we have separated a few times. One of those times that we were separated, I dated John for about a month. It was not in 2006 or 2007, it was in 2002 when we were both in Louisville. I was married but separated, John was single, I was never his road girlfriend. I know that when we were separated, my husband also dated a couple of girls. That's what happens when you're separated. In 2002, it was common knowledge that John and I dated. It fed the rumor mills for people who have nothing better to do than gossip like old ladies. So for KD to use bits of information that he was only able to pick up because he was allowed in the inner circle of WWE and smear me when I only treated KD with respect over an incident that he is upset about from 5 years ago tells me that he didn't learn anything about, quote, backstage politics and how it relates to being a decent human being. Moving forward, I'm a glasses half full kind of girl. My glass isn't half full. My glass is 99% full. I am blessed, and I'm done discussing the 1%. So there you go. Tara, the ex-WWE diva in question. And now I need a drink after reading all that.
Ah, KD. I don't understand what Kraft Dinner has to do with all this. But...
you Canadians and your Colin macaroni and cheese Kraft dinner. Just...
Happy Canada Day!
Happy Woo! America Junior Day! all tucked away down there.
Why would you want to leave America and go to America Junior?
Oh, it's easy to miss Canada all tucked away down there.
Blame Canada.
Hey now, we're gonna burn down your White House again. Just saying.
You gonna attack the Arquettes too?
Sure, why not?
And the Baldwins?
Well, I don't know. The Baldwins, I think we're gonna give a pass to you this time, but not next time. We just don't have enough hockey sticks to go around, if you know what I'm saying.
You know, it's funny. I think I told you this before. My wife had me watch this like Snoopy Gets Married special thing, the Peanuts thing, and Charlie Brown's like, "Oh, well, you're gonna go guard Peppermint Patty's house. Here, take this. It's the most deadly weapon known to man," and he hands him a hockey stick.
Yes, I've seen it. Actually, I've seen that episode. It's awesome.
Let's see how much of this we can get away with. stupid ads. I could skip it in 5 seconds, though.
Oh, no.
I am not sitting through a 2.5-minute ad. Okay, here we go.
We must stop dirty language from getting to our children's ears. We must go fight the source of it. But what is the source?
Oh, that's easy.
Times have changed. Our kids are getting worse. They won't obey their parents. They just want to fight and curse.
Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Canada!
Blame Canada!
For the beady little eyes and flapping heads up on the line.
Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
We need to form a full assault!
It's an assault!
Don't blame me for my son Stan. He saw the darn cartoon and now he's off to join the clan. And my boy Eric once had my my picture on his shelf. But now when I see it, it has been done.
Hey, I know what I'm doing.
Not even a real country anyway.
Don't think I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I didn't know if you had the edited version or not.
I don't have the edited version, but I have my finger on the button. I know what I'm doing. I've been DJing for like 15 years now. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, big shocker. The American has his finger on the button.
It's all in good fun. It's all in good fun. I mean, we could be...
They're not even a real country anyway.
I mean, we could be like Mexico and we can edit out clean stuff from a show. I mean, WWE edited out two of John Cena's comments of the replay on WWE Raw on Monday 2. His fudging line and subsequent explanation to Chris Jericho that he needed to keep it PG because Raw is for 9-year-olds. Oh, here's the news. We do have the news story. Vince McMahon's latest executive directive is that small market cities can't be mentioned on the air during a broadcast or taping. If you're in New York, Los Angeles, or Chicago, you're fine. But he banned both Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Columbia, South Carolina from being mentioned on recent shows. Oh, hey, here's the Ryback thing. Here's the Ryback thing. Ryback comments on being compared to RVD and Goldberg for WWE Magazine. All the Rob Van Dam comparisons are fine with me because we actually have the same airbrush guy. I feel like I'm a colorful person in terms of my personality and what people are going to see over time. The plain black look just didn't cut it for me. It worked for Austin, worked for Goldberg, but I'm not Austin or Goldberg. I'm Ryback. That's why everybody chants Goldberg when he's in the ring, because he's Ryback.
He should just be happy he's being, you know, compared to those guys, because... That's a bit of an honor, if nothing else, right?
It's a former WWE champion, a former WCW champion. Say what you will about the new ECW, but Rob Van Dam was WWE champion when he was ECW champion.
Yep.
Of course, Taz was legitimately the ECW champion when he was wrestling Triple H on SmackDown, but that's another story. In fact, if you go on our BWF store there, and you buy the ECW Blu-ray, ECW Unreleased Volume 1, the match is on there. Taz defending the ECW title against Tommy Dreamer, the match that WWE legally prevented ECW from airing because Taz was a WWE superstar at the time. So you can see that match on ECW Unreleased Volume 1. Go buy it right now from our Amazon store. And
buy the shirt, too.
Buy the shirt!
There it is.
WWE has a new TV show coming in October. ION Television today announced a new weekly one-hour original series airing Wednesday nights at 8, 7 Central. WWE Main Event will debut on October 3rd and feature WWE superstars and divas from the rosters of Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown. WWE Main Event will feature in-ring action and fit seamlessly in storylines from Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown, making Wednesday night appointment viewing for fans. The new series will offer a big arena experience with live audiences just like current WWE weekly programs. WWE Main Event will be filmed before SmackDown on Tuesdays in the same slot where WWE NXT used to be taped and will be largely similar in talent and presentation to WWE superstars with top stars occasionally being used. So, basically, they found a new network for superstars.
Yep.
Now, is this ION Television actually, do we get it here down in the States?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe we do. I don't know what channel... It would be different for us anyway, I would think, but I'm pretty sure we get it. Let's see.
WWE will announce a new permanent GM for Raw and SmackDown July 23rd.
I'm hoping it's Puppet H. You guys have no idea who Puppet H is, do you?
Puppet H?
Nobody watch Are You Serious? Come on. Puppet H. Puppet H is a puppet version of Triple H. who comes down into the WWE, the Titan Towers vault with Josh and Josh Matthews and the Road Dog occasionally on WWE Are You Serious on their YouTube show there. And he gives them clips and stuff to watch, and he's hilarious. I mean, I think I posted something in our little group last week when I watched it. He was talking about... oh, he was dressed up like Batman. And they're like, oh, why are you dressed up like Batman? You're not one of those dorks that goes and waits in line for days for the movies to come out. And he's like, yeah, you should have seen me for Avengers. Oh, let me guess, you were Thor. No, I was Loki. Like, oh, you mean that dude from NXT Season 2? No, that was Caval. You gotta love that insider jokes. no, I hope it's Puppet H. Or if it's not Puppet H, Mr. Belding.
Mr. Belding.
Mr. Belding. There's a whole Twitter campaign going on to get Mr. Belding as the Raw GM.
Yeah, they were trying to get him as a guest host back when they were still doing that as well.
Yeah.
I don't think his name is big enough anymore, if it ever really was, to get to that level, but it is kind of an entertaining throwback to see the guy. Wasn't he on Raw in the like the audience a couple months ago when they
probably
didn't even make mention of him?
Yeah. I've been trying to get him on the show, honestly. Just occasionally tweeting him like every now and then to see if he'll respond to, hey, you wanna be on our show? But nothing yet. All right, so I've given my picks. JT, who do you want to see the new Raw and SmackDown GMB?
Oh, shoot, I couldn't tell you. Bring back the computer. Why not?
All right. G, your choice for permanent Raw and SmackDown general manager. And keep in mind, it doesn't have to be a former GM.
That's one of the toughest calls, because there's a difference between what I want and what I think we'll get. You know, I want it to be someone like Oliver Humperdinck, or just somebody, if not like that, like an old school throwback. I want a neutral GM. I don't want a conspiring or a good guy GM. I want to call it right down the middle, very minor role on the show type of person. Current people that I think could fill that void, if they let them do it that way, would be William Regal or Mick Foley, but I don't think it's going to be Foley or Regal. I honestly don't know who it's going to be. I know who I want it to be, and I've said those two names, but I'm kind of in the dark on where I think they're going to go with it.
Gee, I have bad news for you. Oliver Humperdinck passed away last March.
Well, a type. A guy's along the same lines. Yeah. I know.
All right. Heck, I didn't even know. I completely forgot last week when they were tributing Captain Lou Albano. I completely forgot he passed away.
Yeah.
Did you know he played Mario in the Mario Brothers cartoon?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. 80s.
It's on Netflix, people.
Oh, I know that.
did the voice and the live bits, I do recall, except I don't think he was involved with the Zelda when that aired on Friday episode. They always had the Zelda.
Do the Mario swing your arms from side to side. Come on, it's time to go. Do the Mario, take one step. And then again, let's do the Mario all together now. You got it. It's the Mario. The Mario, swing your arms from side to side. Come on, it's time to go. Do the Mario, take one step. And then again, let's do the Mario all together now. Come on now, just like that.
You never know what kind of randomness you're going to get on this show. Or on the site, for that matter. Can we get the... What's the name of the dude that invented Super Mario? The Japanese dude from Nintendo.
I have no clue.
Miyamoto, right? Is that... I'm asking G, because
yeah,
I know.
I'm pretty sure that he was the main brains behind it. There was more people involved. than just him. I know the guy who wrote the theme song, that was actually the very first piece of music he ever wrote, which is an incredible fact in itself, because that's one iconic theme, eh?
Hey, you could tell it's Canada Day, and G's from Canada. Every sentence ends in A. A. A.
A. Start using O.
Oh!
There you go.
Maxine quit WWE in frustration. On Twitter, she noted, "I'm not going to another wrestling company. That's not in my plans. I didn't ask for my release to go to another company." And, of course, I said, I can't blame her. She's on Raw for the Battle Royal. I barely knew who she was. Had to look her up on Wikipedia to remember her damn name. JT, jump in. If you guys have any thoughts on Maxine.
Nope. The knower don't care. Sorry.
And you guys still got and still do get NXT up in Canada on TV, so gee.
She was actually pretty decent near the end of the run of the former NXT with the Love Triangle storyline, which, in all fairness, is being kind of replayed a little bit with AJ right now. The one thing I'll miss the most is the nickname that Derek Bateman had for her when they were in the quote-unquote relationship, which was Betamax. I thought that was really clever. Other than that, oh well. What can you do?
Yeah. Woo! Ric Flair does have a no-compete clause in his TNA contract, so even though he's done with TNA, he can't sign with WWE at this time. Meanwhile, WCNC in North Carolina reports that the Charlotte Mecklenburg police were called to the condo of Ric Flair and his wife Jacqueline Baines Beams at 9:40 last night due to, obviously not last night, but a couple of nights ago, due to Beams assaulting Flair, though neither was arrested or hospitalized. Beams was arrested for punching Flair in the face at their home and charged with assault back in 2010. But the district attorney later dropped those charges. She was also arrested and charged with DWI and reckless driving on March 31st, 2012. So, Ric Flair married himself, huh?
Woo!
I sure he got busted open. Yep.
I'm amazed this one still works. He's still married this long.
She punched him in the face, and he starts bleeding all over everywhere, and then she had to, he starts trying to climb out of the house, and she grabs him by his pants and pulls his pants down.
No, she punches him, and he does that, like...
The Ric Flair flop.
There you go. He's on his knees, shaking his head, and putting hands out. No!
then he goes for the low blow, and then he forgets that it's a woman.
This isn't the first time too. He had an altercation with his wife maybe a half a year ago at most. I don't think the guy can afford another divorce settlement. I mean, in all fairness, I'm not trying to make a joke, I really don't think he can afford it.
No money in the bank.
Yeah.
You don't need to make the joke, you already made it in your SmackDown review. It appears that Jigsaw, who played Rubik's on Impact Wrestling the other night, won't be the only Chikara star appearing on Impact, as there's going to be some sort of working relationship between the two going forward. That's cool. Maybe we'll get Necro Butcher on Impact.
Well, that would be cool. Yeah. I think it's a really smart move. Both companies can benefit from this for sure.
Yeah.
And the X Division needs guys like we see in Chikara, so it's a win-win. Television time for their stars on a national level, and hey, for those of us still watching Impact, it's a win for the X Division fans, so right on.
Indeed. Sylvester Turkai, who some of you may remember as Elijah Burke's bodyguard in WWE, was backstage at the Extreme Rising show. He's currently filming scenes for a Wrestler vs. Zombies movie that also stars the franchise Shane Douglas. go ahead, G.
Okay.
Oh, you got something there, JT? Go for it if you like.
No, I'm just smacking myself. I'm like, really?
I thought you were going to make a joke like Shane Douglas is a zombie. He doesn't even need makeup. But anyway, being a zombie smirk since like 1991, when I had a professional development day or a day off of school, basically, allowed me to watch George Romero's innovative take on the zombie apocalypse. And my perspective on horror and survival became like a new hobby. I'm really looking forward to this premise. It might turn out to be a flop, and quite frankly, 90% of horror movies tend to suck, at least in my opinion. But wrestlers facing zombies, make it happen. Please don't make it suck, though.
As long as they're not planting pea shooters and tall nuts and all that other fun stuff from Plants vs. Zombies.
I'm a horror mark, and I disagree with you. I think there are more. I think it's more like 75% of horror movies are bad than more than 90%. But I just can't. I can't say anything good about this. It just reads bad from the get go.
I think it's gonna be awesome though, because the wrestler's gonna go in for a grapple with him every single time. Somebody figures it out. It's like, wait a sec, all our moves are useless.
But then again, I did watch 2 weeks ago. I don't know if I mentioned it on here. I did watch Jersey Shore Shark Attack. So.
Oh God.
But you guys really should watch it. It really is so awesomely bad. It's worse than the train wreck, but it's just, words cannot explain how awesomely bad it is.
Sometimes a good horror movie is when they want it to be bad and it ends up being entertaining, you know? Like the first two Evil Dead films, I think, they kind of figured it out by the third and made the epic Army of Darkness, right? And by that point, it's like, we know this is not going to scare people, so let's just have fun with it. And as a result, Sam Raimi ended up making possibly one of the best cults, quote-unquote, horror films of all time. I think. I don't know. I love that film.
Wrestlers versus Zombies. I would have to go see this. I don't know.
Think about it. The first wrestler who figures out that you can't, like, go and give the guy, like, a choke slam is going to be like having a one line or something along the lines of, this is a shoot, and then blow the guy away.
Yeah, of course.
Come on,
Hey, speaking of movies and train wrecks, Charlie Sheen was named the social media ambassador for the 1000th Raw from the WWE. Quote, during the 3-hour milestone event, July 23rd at 8, 7 Central on the USA Network, the winning actor will entertain his 7.5 million Twitter followers and the WWE Universe all night long with his unique 140-character analysis of the action. I avoid Twitter and Facebook like the plague on Monday nights because I don't get to watch the show as it airs. And I don't want spoilers, but with Charlie Sheen tweeting about Raw, I might have to break that rule. JT, thoughts, Charlie Sheen?
Don't be mad at me, Charlie, but I'm not one of your 7.5 million followers. Sorry.
Winning.
Charlie, what do you think of JT not following you on Twitter?
Mole-S-H-I-T.
Sweet, I'm a superhero in training.
Gee, your thoughts, Charlie Sheen tweeting about Raw.
I'll probably check out his feed after the show. I kind of hear what you're saying. It'll be entertaining to see what he does, but I would want to avoid the spoilers anyway. I don't care if it's, you know, any celebrity or anybody in particular who's tweeting during it, it would still be a spoiler to me. Not to say it still won't get ruined somehow. Anyway, I'm going to continue my effort just like yourself, but I could understand why there'd be some draw to saying, the heck with it, and just checking out what he has to say as it goes, but I won't be alongside of him. I do follow him via Facebook, but more for the train wreck, I think. It's like, what's this guy going to say next? That's it. I'm not that big a fan of Sheen. Some of his films back in the day were good, but other than that, never got into 2.5 Men, so It is what it is.
The reason that I am a fan of Charlie Sheen is because I do this Noah's Ark show on Wednesday nights on allwestnewyorkradio.com at 8 o'clock, or at 6 o'clock, rather. So you listen to us, then you watch the new WWE main event show on ION. But they have this little obsession with Charlie Sheen where they have this soundboard and they play all this stuff. And, you know, just...
Damn.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to get back to work.
Good for you, Charlie. All right. Ah, here we go. I heard about this. Booker T's website... I thought it was his Twitter, actually. I could be wrong. Booker T's website was hacked yesterday by a racist group affiliated with the KKK. They posted both his and Charmel's personal information, address, and phone numbers, then posted racist messages on his Twitter. Okay, it was his Twitter and his website. And redirected his Reality of Wrestling website to a KKK group. The hackers posted the following. Just jack the S out of this effing... F, who goes by the name of Booker Huffman. We also took the extra time to F his monkey wife over. Booker is known for being a, quote, professional, yet fake WWE wrestler. G, please remember, this is a family show.
Okay. I don't have a lot of patience for racism at all. Or any discrimination against superficial things like skin color, religious beliefs. If you're not causing harm to other people, who cares? Anyway, to get that out of the way, there are terrible people on the internet, just like non-terrible people as well. And we can make all the shucky, ducky, quack, quack jokes about the guy on his commentary. But if he's considered a poor in-ring competitor, I don't know what these people were watching during his five-time championship run, let alone his run with his brother in Harlem Heat. So based on that, I buy into this hacking claim. I don't see who else it could be doing it. It's pure ignorance, unwashed, racist crap. Thank you.
JT, JT, any thoughts here on America Junior Day?
It's getting scary. Rednecks know how to hack. They're learning how to hack and hack.
Yeah. No, I can't, you know, I can't tolerate racism. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's wrong. When I read this, my jaw, I'm like,
it's amazing that in this day and age we still have people who think like this. It's terrible, horrible. Jeez.
Yep.
Speaking of hacking. China's Twitter was suspended after she posted the name and personal information of a person she believes stole her poodle, extorting people to do something violent to her to boot. Gee, go ahead.
Maybe she could hide at Charlie Sheen's place.
O-S-H-I-T.
JT, your thoughts.
Next.
Charlie, what would you rather do than hang out with China?
I'm going to hang out with these two smoking hotties.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to post the name and address and phone number and stuff of people you think stole your poodle. Stole her poodle. What the hell is that? But it's another thing to implore people to commit violent acts upon said person. I mean, there are way more civil ways to get your poodle back, China. People, just people. JBL had a little scare on his mountain climbing expedition. Actually, not so little by his personal account. He got hypoxia and was fighting frostbite, still made it to 1,000 feet of the summit, and then a huge storm pushed him off the mountain. He's lucky to be alive. So, yeah, JBL lucky to be alive, and thankfully, he's okay. I actually tweeted him a couple of times before he started his journey. Said, you know, we at Board Wrestling Fan, we wish you luck. Come back home safe. And G's been kind enough to provide us a video of JBL deciding to stop his first seven summits ascent on doctor's advice. And let's hope there's no ad here. Okay, here we go.
Here we are at about 17,000 plus feet. The peak is 18,511. It's behind us. You can see it. Doc was here on the trip. He'd already asked me to turn around. I thought I had hypoxia or a little frostbite. And thought we could make it. And still think we could. But the weather's coming in. And we still have 4 to 5 hours. We've been hiking for over seven. And through the snow, through the darkness, and through what is really, really been cold. I'm out of gas, but would love to give it a shot. Possibly the most disappointing day of my entire life. Just beyond comprehension. I can't do anything about the weather. And that's what's forcing us out. That just really sucks. So, live to fight another day. So, get out here before the storm gets us too bad and Or I get frostbite on these fingers that they're worried about. So, sorry, everybody.
Now, do we know if he's going to attempt this again? Or if he's in the process? I don't know.
He said he's going to probably try a little later, maybe in a year or so. So,
okay.
Some of the people he was hiking with to kind of save you from reading the super long paragraphs.
Yeah, I see that now.
They did make it to the top, but unfortunately JBL had to, you know, concede to weather and conditioning, or the conditions, sorry. Hypoxia is pretty dangerous stuff. When your body isn't getting enough oxygen, you can die very quickly. So
right.
He made the right decision. If the doctors did, at least two of them with him, diagnose the guy to these conditions. It's a shame, but we all know his heart's in the right place, and hopefully he'll conquer these mountains at a future date.
All right. Again, we wish JBL the best of luck. Hopefully he'll be able to get back and do this. And I'm sure he's probably, is he going to, I guess it doesn't say if he's going to continue whether or not to try the other six. We'll look into that a little later. We'll update you next week. I talked a little bit about this earlier. Sunny and Rebby Sky, which is some internet guy's girlfriend, they have been exchanging words on Twitter. Sky's a nobody, and Sunny must not be from Philadelphia. Good line, G. Sunny started throwing out homophobic comments after Exotico wrestler The Boy Diva, Rick Catalano, said he had Rebby Sky's back. I don't know if I can read any of these.
Yeah, I don't know if you can either, but well, we could use other words. You chicken poo-poo, British word for a cigarette, piece of crap, I'll knock you out. How about that?
Okay, you're going to get your butt handed to you, you female dog. I have a gay cousin who I love to death, but this kid was a British cigarette. Totally different. She tried to back down later with the I was hacked line, but as recently as 4 hours ago, she didn't sound so apologetic when tweeting other fans. At Stevie Ray 1986. Wow, you have a lot of time on your hands. Pathetic. Anime King 420. Excuse me, you piece of poop. Well, that was a fun little news piece to get around.
Got a little bit more of it coming up, but not as much. Another spelling champion in Sean Waltman.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I've heard the word... what we're calling British cigarettes today, I guess. I've heard that used in a non-homophobic way. It's a word that is like it's not used in that sense all the time, but it is offensive to gay people. So, I mean, it depends how you want to take it and what the context is, I think. Personally, I get what she's saying. I understand. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm probably guilty of using that word a couple of times in the same manner. And I'm not homophobic. I have very good friends who are gay. Even gay sometimes gets thrown around as just a word to describe something stupid. And I have a gay friend, and I say, oh, you know, so-and-so said something about this being, you know, this stupid thing we have to do is gay. And he says, well, you know, that should offend me, but no, that is pretty gay. So, you know, it depends on who's reading it and what they're reading into it. Honestly, but to be yelling at the fans, that's kind of ridiculous. I don't know. Not trying to defend her. I'm not trying to say that, she's right to use this kind of language, because she is wrong to use that kind of, that word, in that way, but, you know, whatever. It is what it is. It happened. Speaking of Twitters and whatnot, it looks like Sean Waltman is also awesome at spelling. I can talk. See? Terrible. But also willing to put over new talent for the WWE and opening a wrestling school. And hash brown tag? you Canadians, huh? Whatever. Sarcasm. Who knows? Arsenio G says, things that make you say, hmm.
Things that make you go, hmm.
Whoever at FCW were that crap on Wes Briscoe either just shows either jealousy, incompetence, and BS politics. Pathetic. He was doing great. You are the people I call parasites on the wrestling business. If you've never done crap in our business, you've no business running or teaching pro wrestling to anyone. You don't know it yourself. I agree with him there. You, in most cases, must have been a star to teach someone else how to be a star. I'm not even going to name the elite in this biz I've taught. I'm thinking Tampa, Vegas, LA, New York, or Minnesota. Maybe spend time teaching in each city. Fact, I could teach you how to be a star, not just moves and spots. What city should I open my school in? All right, there's the question for this article. What city should Sean Waltman open his wrestling school in, JT? We're on the air here, buddy. I know, keep it going.
Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Hey, why not? It is it is Canada Day. So. Gee, your thoughts. What city should Sean Waltman open his wrestling school in? No dead air!
He's Canadian, by the way. Alex Trebek.
I know he is. Get well soon, Alex.
What is parts unknown, Alex?
There you go, parts unknown. I like that answer. You know where I think he should open his wrestling school? In the outer reaches of your mind. Isn't that right, Damien Demento? You gotta love the horrible, horrible, horrible wrestling. Of course, everybody's favorite wrestling hometown was WCW Special Forces, right? I mean, all right, Batista's manager made this announcement on Twitter. For all you at Dave Batista who have been waiting for the announcement, you are going to be very happy with us. Haters are going to kill themselves. Well, actually, it says haters are gonna kill themselves. What kind of a manager uses gonna? Whatever.
It used to be Ric Flair. I mean, he was managing Gunner. Oh, terrible. Terrible.
Woo!
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 What do you think, Charlie?
Charlie, what do you think? Charlie, I can't hear you, buddy.
Winning.
There you are. Charlie, what do you think of Ron Simmons?
Damn.
All right. Okay. I haven't heard anything more about this, so what is Batista and his manager's big announcement? Gee.
For me, I'm thinking one of two things. Possible return to the WWE is a pretty logical one. Number two is maybe he'll actually get an MMA match, because that was one of his aspirations as of late, too. But outside of those two, I couldn't tell you.
Okay, JT, Batista's big announcement. What is it?
He's going to become a great-grandfather?
Could be. Jeez, I need the Jeopardy music back. I don't know what I think. I don't know. I really don't care. It's Batista. Yeah, anybody that's been following us for a while knows we're not big Batista fans here at BoardWrestlingFan.com. Bortista.
Bortista.
Bortista. Let's see if there's anything new here. Cody Rhodes is quitting Twitter. Supposedly DDP is going to be the superstar on Raw on Monday. Sorry for the spoiler there, Canada boy.
I read that earlier too.
Okay, and yeah, that's it.
Well, in essence, WWE gave away Sid announced on Facebook before the Sid match. He announced that Sid was in the building before he came out, so it's not like they're being completely secret.
True. All right. I got nothing. Anybody else have anything to add? JT?
Nope. Other than, finally, after 12 years of waiting, Fozzy might actually be coming to my city.
Yay, Fozzy! I got so many freaking concert tickets I need to buy still, but Fozzy
waka,
is...
Waka, waka.
Fozzy's not one of them. Not yet.
Yeah, he's actually... I don't know if he's doing every day, but yesterday he did a count. He did one of his countdown because of their new album's coming out next month. And it says 42 days till his album comes out, and there's like a couple other things on it. Let me see. Let me type it up real quick. Let's see.
These come from twitter.com/IamJericho. And let's see what we can find here. You've already seen it, so you'll probably find it faster than I will. Yeah, I'm not seeing him at all, so.
Well, let me see. I don't think he's doing it every day, but I know he said yesterday. He had one yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at, is yesterday, and I don't see them, so. Sandpaper, the lead single from At Fozzy Rock, August 14, released Sin and Bones. Premieres July 5th on RevolverMag.com, July 17th on iTunes.
Sorry.
Unless he posted it on the Fozzy page.
No, it was on Twitter, but I don't see it either. So yeah. He must have either deleted it or it was... Oh, yeah, maybe it was on the Fozzy Twitter page. You're right.
That's where I'm at now. Let's see. There we go. This is from yesterday. It says... Oh, it was a retweet. Somebody tweeted this. 43 is the first song, or is the song on the first Mushroom Head album, which also has 43 tracks. 43 days until Sin and Bones.
Yeah, and today's was Jackie Robinson wore 42 for the Dodgers. Mickey Mantle hit 42 home runs in 1958, and 42 days till Sin and Bones.
The square root of 100 is 10. 10 plus 32 equals 42. 42 days. Yeah. No, there's a few of them. They're all retweets. The Beatles' legendary rooftop show lasted 42 minutes. Fox Mulder lived in apartment number 42, 42 days until Sin and Bones.
Well, right? I'm reading the ones off for that they tweeted.
Oh, okay. I'm reading some of these. Ronnie James Dio was born in 42. Max Calavera is 42, 42 days until Sin and Bones.
Yeah, that's the one I saw.
All right, cool. All right, so 42 days until the new Fozzy album, Sin and Bones. Reserve your copy today.
Or just buy it if they come to the Uproar. If the Uproar Festival comes to your town, just buy it there.
True.
All right, that's all I got.
All right, G. Go ahead.
Happy Canada Day. Woo!
Is it Canada Day, G?
No, it's all a lie.
So it is your Canada Day is like our 4th of July, right?
Yeah, it's the anniversary of the day we became officially a country. Same idea, basically. Bye-bye, Britain. See you later.
You know, last year on Canada Day, I was in downtown Buffalo, and we have a building right by the bus station there, and they do, like, the colored lights thing, kind of like you see on, like, the buildings in New York for special occasions. And it was red, white, and blue on Canada Day. I posted on Facebook. I said, yeah, suck it, Canada. which, of course, our 4th of July coming up this Wednesday, which is why we get the Great American Bash this Tuesday from SmackDown. And, so call us, 716-HOGAN-97. Leave us voicemails. I actually changed the voicemail greeting so you know it's us when you're calling. Leave us a voicemail. Somebody will eventually leave us a voicemail that doesn't work here. Follow us on Twitter. Please like us on Facebook. We are still at 99 followers. and, of course, boardwrestlingfan.com. Check out our shop, buy our t-shirts, buy the shirt! Check out G and I occasionally on WonderPod Online. And boardhockeyfan.com coming soon. Happy birthday, America and Canada! And for G Hall and Mr. JT, I am going to press the button eventually. There it is. I am Think So Joe. And we will see you guys next week.
I wanna go to the beach
for Canada Day. Yay!